You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Food Friday, you can't have summer in Wisconsin without sweet corn. Now that it's showing up at farmers markets and elsewhere, we'll get some ideas on what to do with it on and off the cob. Right now, some big changes to the college basketball rulebook are on the way. The NCAA announced on Wednesday that players considered elite can hire agents. And for underclassmen who enter the NBA draft but wind up going unselected, they can return to school. Those changes and others are the first in men's Division I basketball since the launch of an FBI probe into crooked recruiting practices. The agency has been looking into allegations that coaches took tens of thousands of dollars to set up players with financial advisors and agents. Arizona, Southern Cal, Oklahoma State, Louisville, and Maryland are some of the schools implicated so far. A commission led by former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice was created to address the problems. In April, she announced several recommendations to clean up the sport.
College basketball is too precious, and the fate of the young men who play it is too important not to get it right. And though this work will not be easy, we need to make a start, and a bold one, to turn the ship in the right direction. For the good of all involved, we need to put the college back in college basketball.
Dan Wolkin is a national columnist at USA Today. He focuses primarily on college basketball and football. Dan, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, on the surface, it looks like a lot of new rules, maybe a big deal. Are people seeing this as a significant effort to tackle the problems uncovered by the FBI?
Not really. No, people who are deeply involved in the sport, I think, look at the changes and the new rules is a bit cosmetic. The truth is that a lot of the issues that were discovered with this FBI investigation and a lot of the corruption that we all know happens in college basketball, none of these new rules did anything that will directly address those issues. Now, the ideas that were put into place were not terrible ideas. They were productive. I think there were some common sense changes that probably should have been done years ago. But in terms of cleaning up college basketball, I don't really think that anything they did will have a dramatic impact.
We'll dig into those changes in a minute, but remind us, this was a big story. There were arrests. Remind us of what the FBI was uncovering.
Well, the FBI basically, as part of a different investigation where somebody had been accused of financial crimes, they essentially gave the FBI a tip that there were these sorts of deals going down in college basketball that weren't being reported, a lot of under-the-table money, bribery, that kind of thing. And so they put together a sting operation last year where they were able to record coaches talking about financial benefits to secure players run through shoe companies. So that was really the gist of it. And then you had some assistant coaches who were getting kickbacks if they were setting players up with specific financial advisors. So it was a lot of sort of dirty deals and the kinds of things that happen all too often in college basketball, but I'm not really totally sure why the NCAA thinks that they're going to fix it by doing what they did this week.
Yeah, talk about what you see as some of the biggest changes that came out this week. You say these are not bad changes. Maybe they're just a little tangential to the main problem.
Well, the biggest change actually has to do with their enforcement division. The NCAA, they've got this that they call it enforcement. It's essentially a team of investigators, and they go out and try to uncover schools and coaches who are cheating. And this body of people has always had some limitations on it. They don't have subpoena power. They can't really compel people who are outside the NCAA to talk to them, and they have limits on the kind of information they can acquire from outside. So it's always been a bit of a difficult process to catch cheaters. And the biggest change this week is the NCAA really gave this group a more expanded power. And it's a little bit in the weeds. It's a little bit kind of, I think, boring maybe for people who don't you know, get who aren't into this stuff every day, but these investigators can now use proceedings, legal proceedings, results of investigations by a body like the FBI, bankruptcy court, all kinds of things where violations may be uncovered. The NCAA can now use that information without doing their own investigation. And they also created this task force for the bigger cases, the more complex cases that include independent investigators, real investigators, not just the people in-house at the NCAA. So they gave themselves some new investigative powers, and that may make a difference. But ultimately, cheating in college sports has always been a cost-benefit analysis, and the NCAA is not going to catch most of the cheaters. The numbers are just not there, and the power they have is so small that they can't catch everyone. And yet, if you do cheat and that helps you win, as a coach, you stand to make millions and millions of dollars. So a lot of people will take that chance thinking they're not going to get caught.
Now, one of the changes getting a lot of attention is this idea of allowing so-called elite players coming into schools to hire agents. How does that work?
Well, a lot of this is tied to the NBA getting rid of the so-called one-and-done rule. The one-and-done rule was put into place about 10 years ago where no longer could high school basketball players go directly to the NBA draft, so they had to go to college for a year. Well, it looks like the NBA, which is under a lot of pressure to change this rule, is going to get rid of it. We're going to have high school players back in the NBA draft in about 2021, 2022, like somewhere in there. And so a group of players designated as elite, the details of how you get that designation still haven't really been sorted out yet, but they will be able to engage with agents that purportedly will help them determine whether or not they should be going into the draft or going into college. And then once they get to college, the relationship has to be terminated. So it's a little bit of a misleading headline, I think, to say that they're now going to be able to have agents, because the NCAA is not going to let them have a financial relationship. The agent is not going to be able to do things agents typically do, like lend money to prospects that they want to sign. So a little bit of a misnomer. It's not a bad thing. It's maybe a small step in the right direction, but it's not really as big and bold as they are making it look like.
Talking to Dan Wolkin with USA Today, looking at new changes in NCAA basketball after last year's FBI investigation and arrests, and a panel led by Condoleezza Rice looking at recommendations for reform. One thing these new rules don't address but came up in that Rice committee report was compensation of basketball players. What did that committee suggest, and why don't the new rules touch it yet?
Well, you know, the committee that looked into this didn't really they didn't really go as far as to say that athletes should be able to profit off their name, image, and likeness. And that's been a big debate for quite a long time in the college sports world. Is a lot of people believe, me included, that a lot of the issues and the cheating and the corruption would be fixed, or would at least be off the table, if you allowed people who are in college to go out, and if they want to get a If Subway or Coca-Cola or McDonald's or whatever big company wants to give them a national marketing deal, or if a local car dealership wants to bring them out to sign autographs for 2 hours and pay them $1,000, that you would be allowed to do that. The rules say you can't, and colleges and university presidents have shown no interest in changing that, and the committee didn't really take that up as a solution. But I think it would be a solution. It's just too radical right now for the NCAA to touch.
What isn't in this new set of rules that you think would really, in a more head-on way, take on the problems revealed by the FBI?
Well, I mean, look, one thing they've done is they say they're going to increase penalties. So if you get caught cheating, you could potentially be banned from the sport for life. Your school could go on penalties for 5 years. I mean, you know, postseason bans. So there's a lot there that theoretically could dissuade people from going outside the rules. But realistically, you're always going to have some people who try to take shortcuts. So I don't know that anything they did with the other rules, with the agent rules, being able to come back if you don't get drafted by the NBA, none of that stuff really will stop people from doing something that can make them money if the money's available to them. And as of right now, money's still available to them because talented basketball players have a market value above and beyond a scholarship.
Dan, from a fan perspective, does this taint on the NCAA basketball program? Does it hurt the game?
Well, I mean, look, I think anytime you have a major scandal in sports, people look at it and they want to know that what they're seeing is, is honest, fair competition. I think in college sports, most people who are big fans of college sports and of specific teams are educated enough about what happens to understand that cheating is in some ways part of the culture. And there's been a big shift on this, I think, in terms of the overall general public and their views on college sports. I mean, now opinion polls today versus 10 years ago show vastly different results in the number of people who believe college athletes should be compensated in some way. There's way more people now who are on board with that. And I think there's also been less of an appetite for the big scandals. I think people, read a story about a kid getting $1,000 or whatever, and they just sort of roll their eyes. It's not a pearl-clutching thing anymore.
And we'll leave it there. Thanks to Dan Wolkin, national columnist for USA Today. We talked about rule changes in the NCAA basketball program. Coming up next, it's Food Friday. It's sweet corn on and off the cob. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.